The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We play like we did in Boston and Long Island. Play the same way. I thought we took advantage of some opportunities in the Island game. Boston, we missed out on some opportunities. That was a tough loss, but I think just again to rebound and play the same way and I thought get a few breaks, but make some things happen and get the early goal. I thought the third goal, getting the power play goal, was a big lift too at the same time.
Back in black and red, it's the Sabres hosting Chicago tonight. Welcome into Sabres Live. Buffalo's got a 7-game point streak against the Hawks, 6-0-1 in the last seven. And of course, Chicago's looking forward to hosting the Winter Classic, but they've got business to take care of as well. Yes. Under their new interim coach, Anders Sorensen. Welcome in, Marty. How do you sound today?
I sound a lot better if I just don't push it. If I stay like really under control, I don't get too excited, everything is okay. Soon as I get like all wild up, then it's like, but yeah, no, I'm all
you
good.
And I may have a different assessment of a lot better, but I'm just glad you're here. And we have.
I look good. I got my new Bills sweatshirt that I got at Christmas. That's all I care about. Look good, feel good, play good.
We have two willing combatants to lessen the load. And that is Darren Dreger coming up this half hour.
Yes.
Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour. We'll get around the NHL as much as possible inside of a 1-hour window, which is Sabres Live. One of the last remaining Sabres Live of 2024. There are very few left, Marty. Very, very few left.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. Okay, well, to all, a very happy 2025.
No,
hope 2024 was good. let's move on to that direction. Now, listen, I'm excited to see how the Sabres can, like, take a step forward tonight. Like, look, Lindy Ruff
just said. Perfect world. Would you want the break after the win or not?
Yes. Perfect world. I would want the break because I feel the 13 games, like you still wear them, right? You get a win in Long Island, but you still wear that losing streak. So you get a break and you start up. And I want to see if what Lindy Ruff talked about, the game in Boston, how they played, only giving up 19 shots to Boston Bruins, giving up a power play goal late. That was a killer. The game in Long Island. I want to see if they can find some consistency in the way that they're going to play. Because in that 13 games winless streak, it was very inconsistent. One day you score a lot, one day you give up a lot, one day you turn the puck over a lot, one day you're really playing well defensively, but you don't get any bounces, puck luck, whatever. I want to see consistent play starting today against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard to overlook some of the toughest numbers amassed in that stretch of 13, which included a run where it seemed like four, five or six goals against were happening with great regularity. So your point is limit, limit, limit. They felt like they did it against Boston. They obviously did it against the Islanders. And Luukkonen, as would any netminder be, was the beneficiary of that. He'll get the start tonight. He's 3-0 lifetime against Chicago. So this is, it's another opportunity here against a team that they beat earlier this season in Chicago. So this is the finale of the two-game season series, and we're not expecting any lineup changes, which you would expect, no lineup changes after you get your first win in 14. But that doesn't mean you can't zero in on players in the lineup. And like a lot of guys probably felt pretty good. You throw up seven, that means many players ended up contributing offensively.
Yeah.
The most was Rasmus Dahlin.
Yes.
But I think it's easier to just start looking at, okay, to your point, how do you tack on here? Who has to tack on? Who are the drivers here to make this a two-game win streak? Take it into St. Louis, try to get three, try to get four. The media has talked a lot, and for good reason. It's been hard, almost impossible, for this team to win four in a row over the last couple of years, right? And it starts with one, and then you build, hopefully, off of tonight and forward.
What was the, what was different this year's Duffer until that streak was that they had had three times three or more wins in a row. They had a four-gamer, 2-3-gamer, and you're like, wow, last year it took until after Christmas and well into the second half to say, hey, they won three in a row. Winning two in a row was hard to come by last year. So that was a difference, but they weren't able to stop the bad streak from reaching a very bad number at 13. Now, defensively, they have to be good. They have to play at their best. Chicago is not a high-producing type of team, although they've done better now of late. They've scored 3 against Minnesota, 4 against Calgary. They won 3-1, 3-2, 5-3. Like, they're getting better offensive support. So it's still a challenge to me to say you have to defend against the Chicago Blackhawks tonight.
Producer Jeff, are you feeling as guilty as I am that we're making Marty talk? Because, like, part of me wants to just keep talking, but it's also my
goal. No, I feel good. It just, like, I know, but it just sounds like crap.
I've lived in your shoes, and I know how long the voice can or can't last in a situation like this. So while my New Year's goal is to talk less, maybe I need to empty the tank here to close out 2024 just to protect you.
Oh, no, I'm good. I would absolutely tell you, but...
Why don't you have a one-gallon-sized mug of tea in front of you right now with, like, a giant, like, Winnie the Pooh coming in and pouring as much honey as humanly possible?
Yeah, I did that, and then I had to go back to the drugstore pharmacy today because my daughter proceeded to slam her finger into the car door today. She didn't want to, like, she got new shoes. She didn't want to get them dirty getting out of the car. So while she was trying to step over a puddle, she left her finger in between the door and the frame. So it looks like it's, like, 3 times the size right now.
Oh, well, that didn't cheer me up.
Mom, she's okay.
Okay.
She'll survive that. It hurts, but she'll survive.
I'm awash with black and red in a blue and gold background world, so I'm probably,
It looks great. I love the colors today.
Very festive.
It looks great.
World
Hey, don't forget tonight, cookie cutters, right? Everybody that's getting there early is going to get these beautiful holiday cookie cutters at the game. I'm thinking I may have to show up this afternoon and get my own.
How much did you, like, when it comes to cookies, how much did you consume over the last 3 or 4 days?
That's probably why I've got no voice. I consumed a ton of cookies, dessert, pies. Oh,
yeah.
Probably put on an extra 15 pounds, but that's
okay.
Come
on. First 7,500, by the way, get the cookie Sabres cookie cutter. This is not the cookie cutter edition of Sabres Live.
No, first 7,499 because I'm taking one.
You're a thief. You're an absolute thief. Let me give you a quick update on the organizational depth at the moment. Obviously, we had a half dozen Sabres getting underway yesterday in the World Juniors. But most importantly, I'll say, no disrespect to the late teenagers involved in the World Juniors. The Amerks are rolling right now. They are 9-2 in their last 11 games. They are home to Utica tonight. They're at Utica tomorrow. These are their final two games of 2024. There is now a four-team cluster at the top of the North that is separated by 1 point. The Marlies produced professional hockey last night on Canada's Boxing Day. They had a 3-0 win at Scotiabank, home of the Leafs, over 13,000 in attendance to watch the Marlies defeat the Senators last night, 3-0. Hildeby with a 31-save shutout. And the Marlies actually have the best points percentage out of all the teams in the North. They're well over 700 right now. Lots of games in hand on Rochester, Cleveland, and Laval. But the fact of the matter is, it's 1 point separating four teams in the North. The Amerks are actually 4 points removed from first overall in the American Hockey League. This is what I'm trying to stress. Yes, they're beginning a brief window of time without youngsters Konsta Hellenius and Anton Wahlberg, who are playing for Finland and Sweden, respectively. That's going to open the door for Fiddler Schultz and Tulio to come back in and, you know, bring a little more age and presumably a little more, I don't know, just neither one of them have a ton of pro hockey games, but obviously they have a little bit more than what Wahlberg and Hellenius have. We saw Tyson Kozak get called up this year. He now gets a little bump in between Rosén and Rusek on what is arguably the Amerks' top line now. Devin Levi is going to get the call in goal.
Yes.
My only question to you is, does Ryan Johnson get his first professional goal before the calendar turns to 2025?
You've asked me that question so many times, and I've answered yes so many times that I'm like,
you have?
Say no,
I thought
now.
I was the only guy that answered yes. When I work with Don Stevens, I like interrupt him mid-play in like second, like, Don, this is going to be the night.
This is going to be the night. Look, he's right around it. Doesn't happen. I'm going to say no because, look, Ryan Johnson's playing well, and look, the Amherst are playing well. So do you want to change things? No. Getting a goal would be awesome. But you look at the Amherst, they're 8-2 in their last 10. Like, that is why they're where they are.
9-2
right
in the last 11. You may have missed that. You might have had stuffiness in your ears. I don't know.
Yes, but but 9-2 in the last 11, that's why they're where they are right now. Laval had an amazing start to the season, and it seems like everybody's catching up a little bit now. So that's fun to see. Look, that group in Rochester is working hard. Levi is playing well. But there's not just the prospects that we focus on. There's other guys that are having good seasons that, you know, the whole team is producing well.
Yes, and what was perfect timing in the sense of knowing full well that you were going to wish Hellenius and Wahlberg the best in their World Junior opportunity was right before they departed. Noah Osland returned after missing 21 games.
Yes.
So he came right in, perfectly balanced with a hungry but statistically not super successful yet this year, Victor Nojcev. And Nojcev, I think, has been better immediately since Osland came in. And he's got the hottest player on the team to his right in Brett Murray. So this is really good insulation. Not that he needs it, but it's really good insulation for Osland in coming back into the mix. And, you know, you've still got your Slagert Dunn Warren line, which is the kind of everything line right now for Coach Leone in Rochester. So anyway, super excited to see how they roll through the final two games against Utica to close out the year. Then they have a week between games. They'll have Springfield on the road January 3rd and Bridgeport on January 4th. And that should be it as far as games missed by Hellenius and Wahlberg. Then again, maybe they ease them back in, give them a little bit more time. But in all likelihood, they're only going to miss four games. This is a great opportunity for them to veer off of their first pro season, get back with their peers in their age group, and hopefully find some success.
And then last, yesterday at the World Juniors, Duffer, that's like what it all got going. Team USA had a 10-4 win against Germany. You know, Brody Ziemer had two goals, looked really good. Maxim Sturback had two assists. Unfortunately, you know, they weren't able to keep up the pace after they took a lead in the game, you know, early in the day. But for me, you know, I watched Konsta Hellenius play against Canada yesterday. He had the puck a lot. He was on the power play. He was, you know, trying to be the guy that, was going to make a difference. It just was hard against Team Canada. Canada was really good, and their penalty killer was really good. But I felt like everybody from the Sabres prospect standpoint yesterday showed well, which is something you want to see in day one.
Zimmer's critical goals. What, the eighth and ninth for America?
It was the was it the eighth and ninth or seven and eight? Yeah, yeah. It was so two late goals.
I had to laugh because I wasn't watching it unfold live. So last evening when I went to kind of get a recap, when you go onto the IIHF website and you click on the box, like the kind of actions, like it goes in the reverse. So I'm reading the box score in reverse from like 10, 9, 8. I'm like, oh, Zimmer. And at this point, I'm wondering, like, how many goals does he have? And then I realize, oh, he was just piling on at the end. And well, I mean, then there was Hudson, Cole Hudson, who had five assists. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is wild. So anyway, there were some big point producers yesterday.
And I'm not saying that because, you know, of where the Sabres have been in the standings or whatever. But it was interesting when you look at Team Canada yesterday because it was a couple of undrafted players, one that may be going number one this year, one that's not going to be drafted until 2026,
right,
that were players to watch for Team Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously, we're looking forward to tonight. It's Buffalo and Chicago. Darren Dreger's coming up here in a second. Sabres are looking to put wins together here to close out this 2024 portion of the season. Obviously, after tonight, which is the final home game of the calendar year, they will hit the road and play Sunday afternoon against St. Louis. And the four-game trip continues with stops in Dallas, Colorado, and Vegas. And as we touched on briefly yesterday, Vegas is very hot right now. Colorado is making news and, quite frankly, has made news the entirety of this season. Poor start, questionable goaltending, active general manager, swapped out both netminders, got healthy, and they arguably have the two best players at any given time in the league in MacKinnon and Rantanen. Oh, and Cale Makar. My apologies.
Oh, wait, Cale Makar. Yeah, you forget, you know what Cale I mean? Makar.
So, like, they have been, like, it's funny because you can sit there in the offseason and go, oh, like, Colorado's going to be a favorite for the Stanley Cup. But then you can't script what was their first 2 months of the year, right?
Yeah,
like,
no.
It was completely the opposite of what you expect. And now we bring in our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, to talk about what might be the next domino to fall as far as news is concerned for this Avalanche team, because they do have a new number one netminder in Mackenzie Blackwood, and it seems like the fit has been a very good one. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN, is with us now. Hi, Dregs. Happy holidays. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Happy holidays to you guys.
So what do we think? Mackenzie Blackwood going to find himself in a pretty favorable spot here with this Avalanche team contractually?
I think so. I mean, it's a good fit for him and obviously a good fit for the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, Chris McFarland deserves a ton of credit, the general manager for the Colorado Avalanche, because in a real short period of time, he revamped his goaltending department. And as we know, in any position, that's hard to do. I mean, you guys in Buffalo have talked enough, I'm sure, to this point about what the Sabres could do, should do, you know, just generally trying to make deals. It's a difficult process. And then to see what Colorado did in, what, a 10-day span of changing out their two goaltenders, and now they look like they're in a good position. But there's still a lot of hockey left. And I don't know where you stood on this, Marty, but I listened enough to Noodles and the goalie fraternity to more or less be convinced that Mackenzie Blackwood needed that change. And in terms of the belief that there were good goalies available, he was near the top of the list. And I think that that's the way it looks now. But, you know, there's a ton of hockey left. But I really like the way that the Avalanche turned things around. And frankly, fellas, they were desperately in the market for a goalie until they realized, okay, what we have here isn't quite good enough. We've got to find a way to take away the excuse of shoddy netminding and put a little bit more pressure on the rest of the crew, because they were starting to wear their losses and pointing fingers at the goalies too often.
Yeah, Drags, I had too much eggnog over the last few days, so my voice is completely like in shambles.
Boy.
But Mackenzie Blackwood, though, like his last 2 years, well, this is year two of a two-year deal at $2.35 million. Is this the perfect situation for Colorado, knowing they won't have to pay him $5 and $6 million? He may just be happy to take $3.5 to $4 or $4.5 million, knowing that he's a number one goalie on a really good team.
Well, and that could be the case. But look, you know, he's also looking at the longevity of his career. And there aren't too many players when they get to the end of their contract who have an opportunity. And let's see what happens with the Colorado Avalanche here. Mm-hmm. If he's part of something that proves contending worthy again, and you look at this team when they're healthy, and obviously they're a contending team coming out of the West, but maybe he leaves a little bit on the table, but maybe not. You know, maybe he runs with it, and all of a sudden he's leaving more on the table than just a little bit. And that's a business decision that he has to make. But, you know, again, give credit to the organization in Colorado. One thing they haven't done, at least recently for the most part, is overpay on their goaltenders. And it kind of reset the market a little bit, didn't they? When they brought in Darcy Kemper and their goaltenders.
Listen, Drags, I'm going to interrupt you because the Avalanche just tweeted that they've extended Blackwood for 5 years now. So it just happened.
What was the term?
Yeah, what's the AAV?
I don't have the AAV right now. They just put a post on X and five more years in burgundy and blue for Mackenzie Blackwood.
Okay. So I guarantee he's getting more than five, and this is going to get complicated because they obviously have to do Rantanen and still. So, when you're making this commitment, five years, like you're, look, I'm not worried. They'll figure it out. That's what the gig is, right? So it's been a very how do you feel having lived it and sought contracts and played your tail off to try to get that next deal? Mm. How do you feel about teams that make moves this quickly into someone's tenure with the organization?
I like it. I think that shows that they know exactly what they want, and it sends a message to the rest of the team saying, you know what? We're trying to get better. Look, the Colorado Avalanche are like, we need a goalie. Boom. Hey, you know what? He's played well. We need to keep him. We need to make that happen. So I think that's the message that, you know, obviously the Colorado Avalanche are sending out to their players. We're in it. Let's go. Let's make it happen. So I like that. And Drex, you know them. You know how Colorado has been working the last few years. You know what? They're not afraid to make moves and get better whenever they can. And that's a quality of the Avalanche.
I like this move, though. You know, again, it does speak to the stability of the organization and just not having to create another worry down the road or going into the offseason, whatever. I mean, now, you know, the conversation, you know, with San Jose, et cetera. I mean, you know, the trade didn't happen overnight. There must have been long-standing conversation. Maybe it drifts back into the offseason. How do we know? But Blackwood must like enough of what he sees there. But the Colorado Avalanche and the Mikko Rantanen situation, Duffer, to your point, that is going to be complex. I mean, clearly they want to extend this guy, and they'll give him fair value. But I purposely eliminated a word because we always say fair market value. Yeah. And with Mikko Rantanen, that's different. His market value, fair or otherwise, is going to be
north
14
of 12
plus.
Like MacKinnon. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
14
that's
plus.
Exact. Yeah. And that's hard to do when you've got MacKinnon at 12.6.
Yeah, it is. Like, he's the human salary cap. And, you know, we've talked about this here in Canada and looking at Mitch Marner and what Austin Matthews makes, right? And can Marner make more than Matthews? Can Rantanen make more than Nate MacKinnon? The answer is yes, they can. Whether or not the general managers are willing to bump that, you know, and the same thing is going to be applied to Connor McDavid when you know, he's allowed to be re-upped in Edmonton as well. So it's precarious, but nowhere written in MacKinnon's contract or in Austin Matthews' contract is we need to be the highest paid.
But here's the thing. We know almost 100% that the cap is going up again by what? 4 to 5 million in your estimation?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Like 94 and a half, I think. So we're at 88 now. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously the Avalanche are what they are right now. Their current goaltender is going to get a boost, probably between $3 and $4 million per to what he's already making. And the Avalanche, and I don't know if I missed something, but we continue to live in this world of, will Gabe Landeskog ever return?
I know.
So yeah. The point is, they're always, if worst case scenario, he doesn't come back, they're always going to live in this world where they have long-term LTIR, right?
Yeah.
With the $7 million annually that Landeskog still has 3 more years after this one.
Right.
So you can see how all of this comes together, and just with natural inflation and growth of the cap, how you can make this work, right? Yeah. Is it going to come with tough decisions? Sure it is. But it's really fascinating. It's a big deal. This Mackenzie Blackwood's not young. Like,
no.
He's 28. And this was his home run opportunity. That's why I can't wait to see what the actual number is here.
Yeah.
Like, what a turn of events for him. Oh, my gosh.
I'm with you. And that's why I was hesitant, you know, to acknowledge what that term was going to look like, or how committed he was going to be, you know, to Colorado. Well, now we know. I mean, there's a commitment, but they would have paid for it for sure. So we'll work on the numbers. But I like this fit, and I like whatever the deal is, it'll be affordable from a Colorado Avalanche perspective, aside from the other hurdles that are coming down the path here.
Dregs, Alex Ovechkin is probably going to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night. He is 26 away from Gretzky, 27 to pass him. I believe that's what the numbers are. Do you think that gets done this year? Because it was going to happen this year. Then he gets hurt. But are we looking into next year, or could there be a last 2 weeks of the season push for Ovechkin to get to 895?
Yeah, I have a feeling, just a gut feeling, that it happens this year. And at the start of the season, I would have been solidly in the camp that, no, it's going to take the next 2 years to get this done. And, you know, maybe that's based on what we saw last year. But, I mean, Ovi scored 15 times in the first 18 games of the season for the Washington Capitals. So I don't know if he just felt more healthy to start this year, if he trained harder. But, you know, for those who analyze this game closely, they say that there's just a different pace to his game this year than what we saw last year. And that just speaks to me to conditioning and training and getting himself prepared. And they've been very cautious, and they've been very, very patient. I think Ovi has been pushing to come back sooner. And wisely, I think the Caps just said, you know what, let's get through the Christmas break and reset and see how you feel then. So, I think he's certainly capable, and I do think he'll get it done this year. And that to me is going to be fascinating, because, look, there's going to be a ceremony that follows with an NHL massive entourage. You know, so how many games or goals before the record does 99 start attending? You know, do you... 5 goals, 7 goals away from the record? You know, is Wayne going to travel with the entourage for like 2 weeks? Like, what's going to happen here? It's going to be
what television network will the game be on when Ovi breaks the record? Will it be on Monumental Sports?
Yeah.
Will it be on TNT? Will it be on ESPN in some capacity?
Will it be on NHL Network?
So only in the U.S.
I said this recently at the board meetings, and I'll apologize if I said this to you the last time we checked in here. But while I was at the board meetings, I said to one of their marketing people, and maybe Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, I said, so here's what's going to happen. Ovi's going to score that 27th goal, and it's either going to be a fraction offside, or goalie interference, and there's going to be some sort of 8-minute review process.
You're evil, Dragon.
I know, it's terrible. Yeah. And they looked at me, and I mean, they looked at me and just said, what are you even talking about? Because they're going to stop the game. If he breaks the record, the game is stopped. And everybody piles onto the ice. So there'll be a lot of eyeballs watching that goal.
Dregs, our good friend Jim Ralph, that does the radio for the Leafs, he does impersonation, and he did one in front of Bobby Orr where he calls the Bobby Orr Stanley Cup winning goal where he flies through the air. And then he says, oh, wait a minute. We're going to have a challenge here. They're looking at it. It was offside. And then he goes into the whole thing. It is hilarious.
Trust me, they've talked about that. This goal needs to be as clean as it can be.
Well, that, Marty, that's an unexpected good tie-in with our good friend Jim Ralph, because for years, part of his shtick as far as impersonations, Hawks legend Bob Pulford. So Chicago is in tonight, and if you ever find Ralphie doing some impersonations there, it is well worth the time. AAV is 5.25. The report on Mackenzie Blackwood, thanks to our friend Elliot Friedman on that, and obviously... That is, Dregs, that's a fair number.
Right? I think that's a fair number. I mean, I'm not going to be critical of Blackwood's camp here. Based on the expectation of what he's going to be in Colorado, I think that's an affordable extension from the Avalanche standpoint.
I like it. I wasn't going to expect 6+, but I think he can perform like a 6+ goalie, and he's at 5.25. That's really good.
Well, we extended Dregs by 4, but sadly it was just minutes, and we hope you can get that time back later in the day, Dregs.
Okay, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Darren Dreger from TSN. We're back after this with Shayna Goldman on Sabres Live.
More of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What a night here at KeyBank Center. It's Buffalo and Chicago, and there's $71,600 in a guaranteed jackpot plus secondary Bills and Sabres prizes in this holiday raffle. This is awesome. We talked about it yesterday with our VP of Community Relations, Rich Jureller. Yep. And whether you're at the game or not, you can get in on it. Sabres.com/5050, presented by our friends at Northtown Automotive. This is a huge community effort, and it kind of dovetails with what we've been doing in the middle of the summer on Give 716 Day, and this is an awesome way to close out 2024 and benefit some amazing charitable foundations in our community for years to come. Shayna Goldman is with us right now. Hi, Shayna. How are your holidays, and what are your plans for New Year's? This is great. As you can tell, I'm still very much in the festive motif with my background here at the arena today.
You absolutely should be. Yeah, the holidays are great. I love it. It's so strange, like Hanukkah starting when Christmas ends. I'm so used to it being like the polar opposite, but it's like, all right, now like there's an excuse to keep all the decorations up and just keep vibing with it.
Absolutely.
I did see a couple of Christmas trees on the side of the road already this morning. I'm like, wait, like already, like, okay,
that's
we're done with Christmas.
That's about as bad as the early teddy bear toss in Cleveland last Sunday. Like, come on, hang on to these babies.
Premature Christmas tree toss is happening. Shayna, I want to start with this with you, because you've been very critical of the Detroit Red Wings and Derek Lalonde. Was that a premature Christmas tree toss on the side of the road is firing yesterday? Like the holiday freeze, they didn't even have practice and they announced he had gotten replaced. Like that was a bit of a weird timing to get it done.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, like Merry Christmas, you're fired. Like, all right, thanks, besties. And listen, I think this could have happened a month ago. And that's the thing. Like, now you choose to do it. I was surprised, like, the holiday freeze doesn't extend to front office changes. Like, everybody just relax for, like, a quick second. But no, I mean, I don't blame the Red Wings situation fully on Derek Lalonde, because he didn't build a roster, right? And I think we all waited all summer for the Red Wings to make a next step, especially after that Jake Wallman move, right? Here you cleared your cap space. What are you going to do? Because it shouldn't just be sign Raymond and Sider. And even if you went long-term on both of them, there's room for more. And they didn't do it. And they went for like aging veterans who have defensive flaws when their forward group was so flawed defensively. And the bottom six brings no offense that you just look at it and go, I don't get it. But with that roster, there were a lot of issues. And the offense at times this season was comparable to what they were in some of their worst years in like our data era, let's call it, since like 07-08. You look at the defense and it is bad and it's trending in the wrong direction. And the penalty kill was a disaster. And they made adjustments and it was still a disaster. And no, it was not Lalonde's penalty kill. It was Bob Bufner. But here's two coaches that have coached very, very, very good penalty kills. And yes, they had better personnel. But I think in shorthanded play, your systems can outweigh your roster. So I don't think they had a choice.
What do you think happens next, though? Like with McClellan, like Todd's had such a fascinating career, really. I mean, assistant Stanley Cup winning coach with the Wings and the San Jose years, like, holy cow, there was so much good there to reflect upon. The Edmonton years had some highs, but mostly lows. Kings years had some highs. Even last year, like, people would look back and go, wait a minute, look at his record. How did he get fired midseason, right? But they just weren't doing much. Now, I don't know how much more they're doing other than their points percentage is a little higher under Jim Hiller. But the fact of the matter was, is he did not leave L.A. with some horrific 12 games below 500 after 20 games kind of, you know what I mean? So what do we make here of McClellan and company moving forward with this roster, which you just itemized an awful lot of?
I think it's interesting that Cam Talbot has, like, really supported him over the years because they worked together in Edmonton. And when he was in Edmonton, they hung him out to dry every night and Talbot was okay with it. But I guess it was an improvement from the team he left in New York. So who's to say? And he really likes playing for him in LA. So I think that's step one. I think that's a good thing for them because their goalie has to be their most important player. They are not a good enough team to not have their goalie be their most important player. And you look at shorthanded play, and I think that's the one that's going to stand out to me the most, is Cam Talbot last year in LA had one of the best goals saved to have expected in shorthanded situations last year. Second to only Detroit, because Detroit's penalty kill was bad last year. The goaltenders just saved them. This year, he was one of the worst before the coaching change. So I wonder if maybe he feels that those systems are going to benefit him. And that's going to help a lot. But I think it's kind of intriguing to me, too, because you look at the Kings last year and what a well-oiled machine they were, right? And you're saying the record wasn't that bad when he got fired. And it was because they had such an incredible start to the season. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it, late December through the end of December? They became the worst defensive team in the league, right? Yep. Their rush shots against.
Remember, Talbot earned himself an all-star start or appearance and then proceeded to lose 10 straight appearances. Like, and it wasn't all on him, obviously, but that was the, like, if you were looking for a microcosm of where the Kings are at, it was like, wait a minute, this guy's going to the all-star game and he's lost 10 in a row. So, yeah,
poor guy,
they were having their issues for sure.
But maybe that speaks to the relationship, Shayna, between Todd McClellan and Cam Talbot, since he kept playing Talbot when David Rittich was playing better and should have been playing more. And then Jim Hiller comes in and all of a sudden he plays David Rittich more and they got themselves going again.
In Hiller's first game, that was, remember, I made the trip. I was there in L.A. when he shut out Connor McDavid on a Saturday night in Hiller's debut. It was wild. So,
hey, I want to stick with goalies quickly, and then I want to move on to maybe a little Sabres topic with you, Shayna. But the Ottawa Senators, probably without Anton Forsberg, who's been out for a while, and now Linus Solmark, he's not skated today. He left the last game before the break with what they said an upper body injury. I thought maybe it was a shot he took up high, but it looked like it was more like back and some soreness. Are they in trouble if Linus Solmark is not their goalie?
Yes, absolutely. And here's the thing. You look at the beginning of the season for Ottawa, and one of the huge areas of improvement was their rush defense under Travis Green. And you see even like pairs like Shabbat and Jensen, and Shabbat has underwhelmed for some time, looked excellent. They had a little bit of a slip up there, but it seemed like they found their footing. But the biggest reason they found their footing in this, you know, last stretch of play was Linus Solmark, right? There was even that when he played the back-to-back games when he wasn't supposed to. And I think he was just below average, but they like squeaked out a win with him in that second half of the back-to-back. But in every other game that he had started, he's not just giving them quality starts. He's stealing wins at times for them. He was outstanding. I was a little bit concerned about that because he doesn't play that kind of workload normally. And I was worried, are they going to run him to the ground? I don't know if this injury is related to that. But you look at it and you go, okay, he's giving you the stability you need. And I feel like when you think about the Ottawa Senators and you go, what do they need? What do they need to be good? The word for the last, 5 years is stability. So if someone's going to give you it and it's Linus Solmark, you're a step ahead, right? Because the offense is getting better. Tim Stützle looks like a star. Brady Tkachuk is performing. You're getting goals now from Shane Pinto, who had that huge drought. The defense is coming together. So everything can start falling into place. Without Linus Solmark, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. And yes, they did come out with some wins. They had, what was it? The game against Edmonton was a pretty high scoring one. But they had the offense.
6-5, I think. Or 5-4, 6-5, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you could try to win games like that for some time. And I think that you can squeak out some wins that way. I don't think that's a sustainable strategy long term, especially, you know, they're finally in this playoff spot. Like, they're going to want to hold on to it.
Keep going, Marty. You had more for her.
No, okay. Well, now let's move on to the Sabres. You wrote an article on The Athletic and New York Times about Dylan Cousins. I have a question for you, and it's a this or that for you on this beautiful Friday of December. What are you more concerned about, Dylan Cousins? Is offensive output or is defensive game? Because that you broke them both down in your article. So I'm like wondering, what are you more concerned about, and or what can be adjusted faster? Like what can get back on the positive in the right way?
I'm more worried about his offense. And I think that's what could be improved on first. And I think it should be. In a perfect world, every center handles a lot of defensive responsibilities, right? Most systems are drawn up that way. The center is going to take on a lot of that workload, so the wingers are a little bit more insulated. I don't think in a perfect world, every single player needs to be an ace on both ends of the ice. Can you get a player there? Yes, I think you can teach defensive structure, but I don't think you can teach offensive instincts, and I think Cousins has them. I would love to see them focus on that. Give him a good two-way winger, give him someone who brings that hard skill, and don't let him play that game, because I think it's getting away from what makes him so special, right? We're seeing him exit the zone a lot more this year, and that was something after 22-23, their centers did not do enough. It's a systematic thing that the forwards are doing it, not the defensemen now, I feel like, a little bit more. But you want it that the defensemen, I think, are exiting the zone more so he doesn't have to do it. Yep. And then in the neutral zone, he is the one that's going to get you into the offensive zone, because his best strength in that breakout year was his transition game. The biggest problem was the transition game didn't always lead to goals, right? And as the year went on, we saw that improve. That would be my focal point for him. Let him focus on that. Give him a shooter so he doesn't even have to be the shooter. Let him be that elite puck mover and then start building up the rest of his game around him. But don't take away what makes him so special.
So is Jack Quinn shooting the puck more and producing now maybe a solution to unlocking Cousins? And do these two go hand in hand?
It's tough because history says yes, right? Like, we know how good they're together in 22-23. We know they have that chemistry. In the beginning of the year, the two of them together has been crushing the Sabres offense in the worst way. So they broke them apart. If you think the Islander game is the start of something, I wouldn't break them up right now, right? Let them have a couple more games together, especially against teams like the Blackhawks, like the Blues, who are so bad defensively, and go with Peterka and go with Cousins and Quinn and see if that chemistry is there. If it's not, do not try to like make something happen there and just split them up and try to get the two of them going separately. And then maybe you can try it again together. I think in theory it works, but I do think it's a little bit heavy on the right-handed shots when you go Quinn and Cousins together. So it's not the worst thing to separate them and have a little bit of like handedness diversity up and down the lineup.
They are, of course, planning to play together tonight with no lineup changes expected for the Sabres against the Hawks based on the win over New York. And after that game and the points Cousins picked up, he's on pace for 40 points right now, which is a long ways from his 68 in 22-23. However, one thing to keep in mind, the Sabres power play was a major down point for this previous 13 games. It has scored in consecutive games. Cousins finds himself on the second power play unit with Byram, Tuck, perhaps burgeoning Yuri Kulik, and Zach Benson. In my opinion, there's no reason that this group can't be more productive with the extra man, even as a second unit and maybe limited time. And here's the thing. In Cousins' career year, he had 18 points on the power play. He has two right now, which projects to less than six over the entire season. So if you're looking for reasons like gaps, like, well, why is he not on that pace? Just start with the power play and get right. Like, it, am I oversimplifying this?
No,
like, if he can get some touches and points here, all of a sudden he's going to feel, I know you talk about this a lot, don't you? Like, Get
the vibes. You got to get, what do we say with young players all the time, right? If you're a top five pick, you should be getting power play one time immediately, because if you start getting it going when you're a little bit more stationary, first of all, you're going to generate chemistry with some of the top players. Second of all, you're going to have confidence. At the end of the day, this is a 23-year-old player who needs confidence, in my opinion, after the last couple of years. And I think he's getting away from his game, trying to be something he's not. If he starts scoring, he might be like, this is what I need to do. I don't need to be fighting anybody. That is fine. I can score points, and that's what I'm going to do. I think it trickles into 5-on-5 play. And I think also you're going to see him get different looks with guys like Benson, and maybe they'll be like, you know, maybe they should play together a little bit more. I think it just gives you options.
I agree. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah and a happy new year, since we probably won't talk to you before then. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live. presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Back-to-back fun nights here at KeyBank tomorrow. It's a sold-out Banditland tonight. It's the Sabres hosting the Hawks. The game's going to be on ESPN2 and WGR Sports Radio 550. And if you're coming down to the rink, please get your phone out now. Those of you watching on MSG, scan the QR code on the screen. It's JJ's Jammy Drive, and tonight is the night. Donate pajamas to children in need. Obviously, you can find out more at sabres.com/jammies. We've been talking about this an awful lot lately through our friends at Trusted Nurse Staffing. And this is just, I don't want to say easy, but it feels like an easy way to significantly change a young child's life.
It helps.
Give them warmth and comfort in the form of pajamas.
It helps. And anything helps. But this is something that every child should be able to have. Pajamas. We went to sleep in heavenly peace. Beds and things like that. So, yes, our friends at Trusted Nurse Staffing and JJ putting this drive together. Very important. So every little bit helps.
One thing to watch for tonight, Sabres Hawks.
Goals. Goals by Thompson and Tuck tonight. That's what I want.
All right, Luukkonen and Mrazek are the expected netminders. Amerks are home tonight as well. We'll look forward to seeing you very soon, everyone.